Dear venerable sisters, dear Dhamma friends, we have come to the first English Dhamma sermon in Kalalgoda English Medium Retreat. May you settle down and say sadhu sadhu three times. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Anapana sati bhikkave bhavita bahuli kata. Mahappala hoti mahanisansa. Anapana sati bhikkave bhavita bahuli kata. Chattaro sati patthane paripurenti. Chattaro sati patthana bhavita bahuli kata. Satta bojjanga paripurenti. Satta bojjanga bhavita bahuli kata. Vijja vimuttiṃ paripurenti ti. Dear venerable sisters, dear Dhamma friends, so we were discussing Anapanasati Sutta as the topic of this English medium retreat. Actually, we couldn't conduct this retreat for several months. So I thought of going through the previous parts or reminding certain points that we have discussed. So basically, Anapanasati Sutta is available in Majjhima Nikaya, that is the 118th Sutta. And it has happened during the Buddha's time. He was dwelling at Migaramatu Pasada. That's also available in Travasti. And there, at one time, Buddha and great Arahants were living there. At that time, there were many young monks, novice monks, and the young bhikkhus. And they were trying hard and they were practicing well, diligently. And so Buddha understood that these venerable monks are practicing well. So at the end of the Vassa period, so basically, as you all know, monks enter into Vassa for 3 months, and at that time they are not going to other places. They are simply living in that particular place, selected place, and they are practicing diligently. So once Buddha understood that these monks are now improving their meditation, their practice, so in case he starts to again go on wandering, go on the traveling, then it might disturb their practice. So Buddha announced the Venerable Sangha that even another month he is going to stay at the same place. So the great Arahants, Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana, Venerable Mahakappina, Mahakacchana, Venerable Mahakassapa, so all these great Arahants are now further advising the other novice monks, and these young monks are practicing further diligently. So these young monks are now further improving, and at the end of that extended month, so again Buddha understood that these monks are further now developed. So what would be the best way of further helping them? So they were practicing various types of meditation. Say for example, some are practicing meditations related to the body. Some are practicing meditation related to the feelings. Some are practicing say Buddha Anusati, some are practicing Dhamma Anusati. Likewise, there were so many different types of meditation techniques they were practicing. So on this context, Buddha understood, okay, let's preach Anapanasati, which is suitable for most of them. So at that occasion, Buddha is explaining how to develop Anapanasati so that one would be able to fulfill all 4 foundations of mindfulness. As you all know, Anapanasati, that is the mindfulness of breathing, is available as one part of Kayanupassana. As you all know, there are 4 foundations of mindfulness. The first one is Kayanupassana, where you are being mindful on the various activities of the body. And one of it is being mindful about in-breath and out-breath, basically the breath meditation. That is included there in the Satipatthana Sutta. But in Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha is explaining in a different way where how to develop Anapanasati so that one would be able to develop Kayanupassana, again the Vedananupassana, the mindfulness of feelings, and again the Chittanupassana, mindfulness on the mind and mindfulness on the various phenomena, that is the Dhammanupassana. So this is in a way, we can't say a shortcut, but we can understand this is the same meditation object would allow someone to develop all four foundations of mindfulness. So that's in a way a good advantage. If one is practicing Anapanasati, there's a possibility that one can use Anapanasati itself to develop all four foundations of mindfulness for Satipatthana. That's what Buddha is explaining here. Anapanasati bhikkave bhavita bahuli kata chattaro satipatthane paripurenti. If one is developing Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing in a particular way, proper way, it is possible to develop all four foundations of mindfulness. Not only that, then Buddha is further explaining, Chattaro Satipatthana Bhavita Bahuli Kata Satta Bojjange Paripurenti. So if one develops four foundations of mindfulness, that will lead to develop seven factors of enlightenment. So that is another area that we have to look into. And after developing, or when one develops the seven factors of enlightenment, it would help to develop vijja vimutti, that is the knowledge and freedom. Satta bojjanga bhavita bahuli kada vijja vimuttim paripurenti. So in this Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha clearly explained how one can develop Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, in order to fulfill all four foundations of mindfulness, which will lead to develop seven enlightenment factors, and which ultimately will help to develop knowledge and freedom. So therefore, we are sort of going through all this information, and so far, we have covered the first section, second section, likewise, say for example, how one can develop Anapanasati in order to fulfill Kayanupassana, that we have discussed. And again, how one can develop Anapanasati in order to fulfill Vedanupassana, that also we have discussed. And again, how one can develop Anapanasati in order to fulfill Chittanupassana, that also we have discussed. And again, how one can develop Anapanasati in order to fulfill Dhammanupassana, that also we have discussed. So therefore, I am not going to cover everything today because these things are recorded, and if you like, you can listen to them by downloading these recorded files. So I am going to continue from there, but time to time I would refer the previous sections, previous information. So from there on, I hope to continue today. So the section that we have to explain is that how the development of four foundations of mindfulness using Anapanasati going to develop seven factors of enlightenment. So this is some interesting part that we can understand. So here in this Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha has explained the seven factors of enlightenment, how that can be developed, how the mindfulness of breathing and the mindfulness through feelings, mindfulness of mental states, are leading to develop seven factors of enlightenment. So that is a very interesting topic. So as you all know, there are seven bojjhangas. So why it is called bojjhangas? That is another question. So one monk actually went to the Buddha and he asked, Bante, this bojjhanga, it is referred like that. So why it is called bojjhangas? So then Buddha is explaining, monk, it is leading to the enlightenment, leading to the understanding, therefore it is called bojjhanga. Bodhaya sangvattantiti kho bhikkhu tasma bojjhangati ucchati. Since development of these factors leading you to the enlightenment, leading you to the understanding, therefore they are called bojjhanga. So there are seven bojjhangas, enlightenment factors. Number one is sati, the mindfulness. Then the dhamma vichaya, investigation of phenomena. Then virya sambojjhanga, that is the energy enlightenment factor. Then piti enlightenment factor, that is the rapture enlightenment factor. Then passaddi, the tranquility. Then samadhi, that is the concentration. Upekkha, the equanimity. So likewise, there are seven enlightenment factors. So it is interesting to understand how each one is developed when we are meditating. But First, we need to understand when we are having some wavering mindfulness, so we can't develop any of these higher levels of bhujangas. Rather, we are still catching up. Say you are beginning your meditation, you are trying to keep your mind on the, say, on the left foot. What's the sensations available on your left foot? But again, the mind is shifting to other distracting thoughts. So here it is not well established mindfulness is available. So you are not yet developing the mindfulness factor of, so the enlightenment factor of mindfulness. But suppose because of your effort, you are able to maintain fair amount of mindfulness. Now your mind is not wandering. Your aim or your mind is now well established on your left foot. Now you can understand, okay, there are various phenomena there. Okay, the different sensations are there. Maybe you can recognize, okay, there is hardness, there is roughness, there is smoothness, there is stiffness, there is dryness. Likewise, there are different element characteristics. Even you can understand. So if you are to understand these things, that means you have a fair amount of mindfulness sustained there for considerable period of time. Suppose we are doing Vedananupassana. Say you have a fair amount of concentration already developed, and now that developed concentration you are keeping on a particular sensation. Now it very much like you are well focused in that particular sensation, and you can see various aspects of these sensations. It may be arising, it may be changing, it may be disappearing, it may be splitting to various parts. So likewise, you can recognize all the subtle details. That means your mind is well established there. So now it is possible to develop mindfulness enlightenment factor. Because mind is not wandering, mind is not wavering, but rather it is well established there. Whatever the desired object, which is your very much the primary object. Suppose you are looking at your mind. Say you have a fair amount of mindfulness already developed, and you are going through Kayanupassana, and your various different element characteristics, they come and go, and they are now very much calmed down, and now various feelings are arising, and you are looking at those feelings as well. And as a result, even the feelings fade away and they also disappear. Now you have a very calm state of body and very much like a very light kind of a body. You can't even feel the body, and there are no much disturbance coming as various painful feelings, and you have a very tranquil body. Now one can look at the mind. Chitta patisangedi asasissami iti sikkhati. So Buddha is explaining the Chittanupassana section in Anapanasati Sutta, where one can look at the mind. Now you are watching the mind through the mind. So you can't do it immediately. In order to do it, you need well-established mindfulness. So Buddha warns there, telling that don't go and try to look at the mind immediately if you haven't yet developed fair amount of mindfulness. If there is no clear comprehension, sampajanya, developed in your mind, is no use of looking at the mind, because mind is very tempting. So the states appearing in the mind, the various images appearing in the mind may be very beautiful, very attractive. Unknowingly, you might be attracted to them. Even though at the beginning you can watch them, ultimately you are being caught to it. So that is a kind of a tricky area. So you have to be fairly mindful, and you have to have a strong mindfulness in order to look at the mind. Suppose you are now watching the mind, Chitta Patisangvedi, and you are able to look at various states of the mind. Say sometimes the mind get unhappy, you can look at it properly. You are not really get caught to it, or you are not feeding that unhappiness, rather you can simply watch it. Suppose mind get agitated, still you can simply watch, now mind is little agitated. Say your mind get little angry, you can still understand, okay, mind is right now it is angry. Okay, mind get lustful, you can see that now the mind is lustful. okay, mind has some kind of a compassion. You can look at it and you can understand, okay, my mind is little compassionate now. Okay, mind has some loving kindness. Now you can look at it, understand it, but you are not promoting them. You are, even though they may be wholesome, you are not promoting them. And even though they are unwholesome, you are not afraid of them. So you are giving some equal value to all these states of mind. So this is a significant difference between the typical understanding that we have to promote wholesome states of the mind and we have to immediately get rid of the unwholesome states of the mind. Rather, now we have established mindfulness, and with that you are simply watching the mind, giving equal value to both sides. At this time, actually the mindfulness enlightenment factor is developing because you are not wavering according to the state of the mind. So you have established mindfulness and you can recognize, okay, this is a lustful thought. This is a loving kindness thought. This is an angry thought. This is an agitated state of mind. Likewise, you can, different states of mind, you can well recognize. So this recognition also not immediately happening or naturally happening, rather you are looking at it in a very investigative manner. You are searching it. You are looking at it in a careful manner. And there, Buddha says, the Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga is developing. That is the enlightenment factor of investigation of phenomena. You are not in a lethargic manner looking at the mind. Rather, you are carefully looking at the mind. You are attentively looking at the mind. You are examining the mind. So therefore, you can recognize, okay, this is a lustful thought. This is an angry thought. This is a jealous thought, jealousy thought. So likewise, you can recognize the taste of each thought in the mind. And you can even understand how they are arising and how they are lasting for a moment and how they are disappearing. So this is something interesting. So only when you are carefully looking at it, then only you can recognize it. You can understand it. So this careful observation, investigation will lead to the development of the enlightenment factor of Dhamma Vichaya. Now, these things are not at all very interesting. Now, looking at your own mind is not that interesting as looking at a movie or looking at a teledrama. So if you are simply watching a movie or teledrama, you can simply watch it without any problem. You can stay there many hours and you are quite happy. Because these different attractive movies are capturing ourselves. So they are agitating the mind, and again they are very much increasing various defilements, and that helps to have fair amount of ignorance in our mind and we being attracted to that. But if we are simply watching the mind, so these are not that interesting. In a way, it is somewhat boring. The state of mind, they also come and disappear, and sometimes they are fading, and you have to have very clear understanding still maintained. So how this can be sustained, how you can continue this practice? So you need fair amount of effort, fair amount of energy to continue this practice, because the understandings happening are not that interesting. So understanding that your mind has anger is not that interesting. Understanding that your mind has jealousy is not that interesting. Understanding that your mind has some loving kindness that is also arising and then disappearing is not that interesting. It is very much like coming and going. So in order to continue this practice for a long period of time, continuously observe like this needs fair amount of energy. So that application of energy helps to develop energy enlightenment factor, Virya Sambojjhanga. I'll just give a little description from the sutta so that you will understand. The ones who have some touch of Pali language can understand Buddha's words. Yasmin samaye bhikkave bhikkhu tang dhammam paññāya pavicinato pavicayato parivimansaṃ āpajjato āraddaṃ hoti viriyaṃ asallīnaṃ. So likewise, Buddha is explaining, when one is clearly or carefully observing the mind, not only the mind, actually when you are doing the Kayanupassana level, you may be observing a sensation. You may be observing feelings in the Vedanupassana section. Likewise, if you are observing the mind in the Chittanupassana section, all are quite similar. So when you are carefully observing, clearly investigating, examining, then this Dhamma Vichaya is experienced, developed. And again, in order to sustain this practice for a long period of time, you need fair amount of energy. So energy also is developing. Energy enlightenment factor is developing. Actually, the beginning of it is the beginning of the development of the enlightenment factor. And when you are continuing it for a long time, again and again you are doing it. Again and again you are doing it. And one thought coming, you are doing it. Understanding it. Another thought coming, you are understanding it. Another thought coming, you are understanding. So we are continuing it. Now the enlightenment factors are developing. Suppose you are doing it for a considerable period of time. As a result, because of this meditation practice, so this is coming to a fulfillment. So, sati sambojjhango tasmin samaye bhikkhuno bhavana paripurin gacchati. Likewise, Buddha is explaining to each and every sambojjhanga. So, when you are continuing this for a long period of time, continuously you are observing, continuously you are investigating, so you are the mind, either the mindfulness enlightenment factor or the Dhamma Vichaya, the investigating of phenomena enlightenment factor or the effort, energy enlightenment factor, all these things are gradually developing. Now, when you are doing like this, so there may be a situation, so it is happening naturally. Say you are continuing for a period of time, long period of time. Now it is happening in a very balanced manner and the mind itself is doing it. You don't need to put your hand too much. And now you have understood it is possible to do. You have the confidence and mind is happily doing it. It is not your in a tireless kind of a tiring manner it is doing, rather now in a tireless manner, in a very beautiful manner it is happening and it is giving some kind of a happiness, some kind of a rapture. So the piti sambojjhanga, rapture enlightenment factor starts to develop. So you are continuing further, so that would lead to passaddi, where the tranquility, because when the mind is in a happy state and you are continuing your practice and you can understand all the phenomena and they may be arising, they may be changing, they may be passing away, still you can continue your practice. There is no any kind of distraction. So there is no any kind of agitation. Now the practice is going well. So in this situation you can understand, okay, I am doing well. Mind is also happening. Understanding also improving, so the kind of a happiness can arise, kind of a rapture can arise, so the piti sambojjhanga can develop. It does not stop there. So when fair amount of piti is developed, so your body becomes kind of light, your mind become kind of light, and it's kind of like floating kind of an experience. So the body and the mind become fairly tranquil. The passadi sambojjhanga, tranquility sambojjhanga is developed. So Buddha is telling like this. Yasmin samaye bhikkhave bhikkhuno piti manassa kayopi passambati cittampi passambati. So likewise, when the mind becomes rapturous in a happy state, so it becomes lighter. Body also become lighter. So there are no big issues at that time, no pains appearing. Mind is beautifully developing the whole process. So the passaddi sambojjhanga is developed. And next, Buddha is telling, yasmin samaye bhikkhave bhikkhuno passadda kayassa sukhino cittam samadhiyati. Now, when the body is tranquil, when the mind is tranquil, so it will lead to kind of a happiness throughout the body, throughout the mind, and this happiness leads to the concentration. So it's a kind of a gradual process, kind of a causal process. One would lead to the next state. Now that state lead to the other state. That leads to another state. So like a step-by-step process, gradual process. So when concentration enlightenment factor developing like that, now you are again and again, you are continuing it. So maybe particular mind state appearing, so you are able to well focus it. You can now recognize how beautiful, how clearly it is arising, how it is simply showing different states, how it is disappearing. You have well focused on that particular mental state, or you have well focused on that particular feeling, or you have well concentrated on that particular element characteristics. So this, the same information or same methodology is available for Kayanupassana, available for Vedananupassana, available for Chittanupassana, and even available for Dhammanupassana. So you know, if you are able to maintain tranquil mind, so you can understand, okay, my mind is free from lust at the moment. My mind is free from anger at the moment. But in a particular given moment, suppose the mind is angry. So at that time you can recognize, okay, the mind is little angry now. Okay, mind is little agitated now. So likewise, you can clearly recognize it. You have clear comprehension there. You have that ability to properly understand. So likewise, all these Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana have contribution to the development of enlightenment factors. So suppose that you are able to understand all these characteristics. Say you are watching a particular element, for example. Say you are doing walking meditation, for example. Say your mind is well established on each and every step. Now you are not doing any kind of labeling or noting. Rather, you have a quiet mind, and that quiet mind effortlessly, each and every sensation or each and every element characteristics is recognized. So there is no much trouble there now. Mind is not wandering. Now it's happening smoothly. At that time, you don't need to do much. You can simply allow things to happen. You don't need to put your hand and control it. Rather, the process happens in a very smooth manner. At that time, the equanimity enlightenment factor develops. Because you don't need to do anything, you don't need to do much. Rather, the process is happening in a beautiful way, in a very natural way. So you can simply take your hand out and allow things to happen. Suppose you are practicing Vedananupassana. At the beginning, it might be difficult. But later on, as a result of your continuous practice, now you are able to keep your attention on a particular sensation or a particular feeling. So this is well recognized now. Now you can understand various subtle details of each and every feeling. It may be arising, it may be changing, it may be disappearing, it may be many feelings. It is not just the one feeling, it may be several feelings. And each and every feeling you can recognize. Okay, one is arising, it is momentary, only several moments, and it is disappearing. Another one arising, immediately passing away. Another one arising, immediately passing away. So you, if you are able to come into, reach this state, suppose it is happening smoothly now. Your mind is not scattered, it is not distracted, rather it is well concentrated on a particular area. There may be many feelings, and you are able to recognize each and every subtle feelings arise and passing away. In that state, if it is happening smoothly, you don't need to do anything. You can simply allow it to happen. Since you are simply allowing it to happen, you are not doing anything, you are not controlling anything, rather very kind of a sustained observation. So you simply you are developing equanimity enlightenment factor. Suppose you are watching the mind. Now various states of mind are appearing. Say lustful thought coming and going, angry thought coming and going, jealousy thought coming and going. Different things are coming and going. Now it is calming down because you are not feeding any of them. You are not nourishing any of them. They simply fade away. As a result, now mind become tranquil. Very calm, very quiet, no inner chatter. So it's very calm state, concentrated, and you can simply be there. You don't need to do anything. Now it's very much like an empty state, very much like a tranquil state, very peaceful state, And actually, you have to do nothing there. So at that time, again, the enlightenment factor of equanimity develops there, because you simply allow things to happen in an equanimous manner. Because the process is happening by itself, and you don't need to do any kind of a controlling, and you are simply watching it as a third person. So Buddha explaining, Yasmin samaye bhikkave bhikkhuno tatha samahitan cittam sadukam ajjupekkita hoti. Where you are looking at the situation in a careful manner, but without any kind of a controlling. You don't need to contribute anything, rather the situation is good enough. They are the enlightenment factor of equanimity develops. So you can understand this can happen at various stages of your meditation. It may be if you are doing in Kayanupassana level, when the things are happening smoothly, when you don't need to do any kind of a controlling, allow things to happen, again the equanimity can develop. If you are in Vedananupassana, if things are happening properly, you are observing things, they are appearing and disappearing, and now you are continuing your practice. And again the equanimity enlightenment factor can develop. Even in Chittanupassana, when things become clear and when the mind becomes tranquil, peaceful, you don't need to do much and the equanimity enlightenment factor develops. So likewise, you can understand by developing four foundations of mindfulness, each and every state or each and every foundation contribute to development of the enlightenment factors. So as I said during the question and answer session, Buddha has clearly mentioned when you are developing enlightenment factors, you have to have some understanding, because sometimes mind become agitated. So say for example, when you are developing maybe Vedananupassana, for example, you are watching various painful feelings, for example, so sometimes mind get agitated. You are not interested. Mind start to scatter. Mind start to wander. And at that time, Buddha advises, don't go for look at more detail. Don't try to see more details. Don't try to examine it closely. It might lead to further scattering. It might lead to further distractions. Or don't try to put more effort. Again, it might go to more distraction. So this is a kind of a tricky area one has to understand, because if mind starts to agitate and you are in a kind of an excited state, so if you are putting too much further effort, it will further aggravate the situation rather than calm down the situation. So therefore Buddha advises to develop other enlightenment factors, that is the calming down, tranquilizing. So the tranquility enlightenment factor, Passaddhi enlightenment factor, the concentration, Samadhi enlightenment factor, and the Upekkha enlightenment factor on such occasions. Because if the mind is scattering and agitated and excited, then if you are trying to develop Dhammavichaya, Viriya and Piti, Buddha says you are doing in the wrong way. Rather allow now the mind to calm down. Let it calm down, let it concentrated, and you wait for a while till it calm down. So you have to have equanimity. So therefore you have to recognize the state of the mind. Accordingly, you have to adjust the situation. There may be another situation where mind is somewhat lethargic. It is lazy about the situation. And you can't see what's going on. Almost like dizzy. So on such occasion, Buddha is telling, don't go for concentration. Don't simply look at it in a lazy manner. Or don't simply look at it in a third party way, like someone else's process. Rather, you put your hand now. You now start to look at it closely. You arouse energy there. And you arouse effort there. So basically, there you should not develop Passaddhi, Samadhi, Upekkha, that is the tranquility or concentration or equanimity. On the other hand, you have to develop, instead you have to develop investigation, you have to see the information clearly and you have to put some more effort, then only the mind would arise, then only mind will awaken. So likewise, you need to understand on the way, that means when you are continuing your practice, then and there you need to understand the state of the mind. Accordingly, you have to adjust the situation. It is not that you are maintaining all the things the similar manner from the beginning to the end. Rather, when mind is developing or when mind is adjusting, when mind is continuing, you have to closely examine the state of the mind, and accordingly you have to do the right adjustments. And there is another situation that Buddha is explaining, that it is not only by looking at the internal phenomena you can develop sati, the mindfulness. You can even develop mindfulness by looking at external phenomena. Say for example, you are simply hearing certain sound. If you are not distracted to various other things, rather if you can carefully listen to that sound, how it is appearing, how the subtle changes are there, likewise, but not very much allowing the defilements to arise, rather you are carefully, mindfully, equanimously observing these details on a particular external sound, still you can develop mindfulness. Still you can develop sati sambojjhanga. Still you can develop dhammaviche sambojjhanga. Still you can develop equanimity sambojjhanga by using these external phenomena. It is not that you simply have to develop all these three enlightenment factors by internal phenomena. Rather you can develop mindfulness. Rather you can, again you can develop equanimity. Again, and you can develop investigation of phenomena, that is dhammavichaya, using external phenomena as well. And again, Buddha is telling, there are situations that the concentration happens, and certain concentrations are involved with vitakka and vichara. Vitakka is the applied mind, vichara is the sustained mind, where there, suppose you are observing particular phenomena, again and again you are putting your mind again and again to that object. Now it is happening naturally. You don't need to effortfully doing it. Now mind itself is doing it. It is well concentrated, but it is again and again putting your mind to that particular phenomenon and observing it, properly investigating it. So if the mind is concentrated like this, so it has this vitakka and vichara, applied mind and the sustained mind. But there may be situations it is not present there. Say for example, you are maintaining a state of mind which has no object at all. Say it is object free and it is not coming and going, rather you are simply there. So there is no vitakka and vichara there, there is no coming and going, there is no any kind of a investigation, rather you are simply there. So that is another kind of state of concentration. So Buddha is explaining there are different kinds of concentration, particularly one available with vitakka and vichara, another one free from vitakka and vichara. So these both ways, enlightenment factor of samadhi, concentration can be developed. And again Buddha is telling another side of the virya concentration, virya enlightenment factor. Buddha is telling sometimes you have to develop or arouse mental energy. Okay, you feel lethargic, you feel not doing it, then you have to arouse mental energy. That is one aspect. There are other times you have to arouse bodily energy. Okay, you feel little weak-like, but if you have some mental energy, so you like to meditate. Now you are arousing some bodily energy and continuing your practice. So therefore Buddha is telling there are mental energy as well as there are bodily energy. So enlightenment factor of effort or energy can be developed using the mind side as well as the body side. When you are putting energy through the mind, so enlightenment factor still develop. The energy enlightenment factor develop. If your contribution is through the body, again the enlightenment factor of effort develops, energy develops. Even the piti, Buddha's telling that the rapture enlightenment factor has both sides, that is when the mind is with a particular object, again and again observing the object, again and again you are putting your effort there, so the piti can arise. But on the other hand, mind simply is there, there is nothing to observe there, but it's sustained there. It is simply there. You are just being there. Still, the rupture can arise. Say, for example, you are in the unassociating state, anisita state. So, there, mind is simply there. You are basically doing nothing there. So, because of the contentment, the piti can arise. So, therefore, the piti also, the rupture also has two sides, Buddha says. So, one is when you are observing these various phenomena coming and going, that means you are putting your mind there and closely observing it. Then the rupture can arise. On the other hand, you are simply there with a particular object, no coming and going. There also you can get the rupture, enlightenment factor. So, there are different ways Buddha is explaining how these enlightenment factors are developed. And one important factor is that sati, the mindfulness enlightenment factor, Buddha says that is useful everywhere. Satiko aham bhikkhave sabbaddhikam vadami. Buddha is telling the mindfulness enlightenment factor, bhikkhus, I am telling, useful everywhere. So mindfulness is the one showing you which one is needed now, which one is too much now. So likewise, understanding is happening because of the mindfulness, presence of mindfulness. So likewise, Buddha is explaining how various enlightenment factors are developed using four foundations of mindfulness. And again, not only four foundations of mindfulness, but various other external activities also contribute into the development of enlightenment factors. And understanding these things helps us to continue our practice, which is because it is not that we are blindly continuing the practice, rather each and every step has some contribution to the necessary skills in our mind, necessary qualities in our mind, which are really necessary to the understanding, necessary to the freedom of the mind. So that is what I thought of covering today. I hope you would understand these subtle areas and which is explained in Anapanasati Sutta. And I have used several other suttas to enhance this information. So with that concluding remark, I'll conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Thank you very much for listening.